Hello, welcome to the ISIS Americas podcast. It's Thursday, July 30th in Houston, Texas. I am a reporter, Dustin Hall. I'm here with one of our senior market editors, John Dietrich. John, how is it going today?
It's pretty good. It's Houston, so it's hot. It's the summer.
Very hot.
Any sources listening to this up in the upper Midwest or northern parts of the country, enjoy your weather advantage because you have it right now. I'm sure we'll be enjoying it come November, December when we're in shorts and not shoveling 2 feet of snow.
Correct. But for now, consider yourselves lucky. So, John, we have you on today. We're going to talk about olefins and where we are with things as far as ethylene and propylene. I know pricing has been pretty low with both lately. Can you start maybe by telling us a little bit about where we stand with ethylene?
Yeah, I mean, right now the general theme has been at some point we're going to hit a floor, at some point we're going to hit a floor, at some point we're going to hit a floor, and we still haven't hit that floor. I mean, ethylene was a little higher through, it was parts of May, June, July, but it's come back down. It was done front month July, was done at 33.5 cents a pound today, which had kind of been the lower end of its kind of range-bound segment that we've been experiencing since February, and it seems like there's a decent amount of downward momentum. The news today is that LyondellBasell has started up one of its two new furnaces at its Channelview complex, which should add about 115,000 tons per year. So we've got even more ethylene on the market, and we've got the second furnace coming at the end of August. So there's plenty of supply. It might be something of a heavy turnaround season in the third quarter, but lots of production. And so, I mean, the question is, what's that going to do to the July ethylene contract? And right now, I would guess you're looking at a decline of about half a cent a pound to a cent a pound with if it's going to go outside that range, it's going to go a steeper drop. Your feedstocks, your ethane, your propane, butane have all been, kind of coming down with this recent fall in crude oil. Spot pricing is going to be lower in July compared to June. So, I mean, you could have a pretty comfortable drop of a cent a pound or more. But I think in the first part of the month, there was maybe a little more strength, though it might slow down how steep the July contract drops.
And so we would expect the July ethylene settlement in the next few days or so, then the beginning of the month.
They'll settle within the first 2 or 3 days of a month, and they settle backward. And if they don't reach a settlement in those first 2 or 3 days, they tend to just say, "Well, we'll do a double month or a triple month settlement." Get that out of the way. But I would expect that they'll come to a settlement. I don't think it's going to be particularly contentious. Everybody knows, prices are low. There is some talk that some of the low trades that we've seen are perhaps not being done by physical consumers or sellers. That's sort of some paper and some traders getting in there and sort of doing things that aren't necessarily related to the supply-demand situation. But the general gist that I get is that margins are still very healthy. I mean, still 20 cents a pound or more. So even though, there might be some, sellers who would like to kind of restock inventories to a little higher level, especially ahead of any potential hurricane season, margins are still, even at low prices, margins are still too attractive to just sit on the ethylene. So, I mean, it's being sold to somebody and by somebody. Mm-hmm. And so, we're not seeing inventory building to a strong degree. Demand is very healthy. U.S. has still got a cost advantage on PVC polyethylene exports, and there's just a lot of supply.
So you mentioned the furnace, the LyondellBasell furnace is up and running. I mean, how significant is that overall here?
Well, I mean, relative to the overall ethylene market, it's not as though it's like a brand new cracker or anything.
Sure.
But I mean, every additional pound is more ethylene, to be sold. And it's not as though we haven't seen, new downstream, PE or PVC capacity, those guys could potentially run a little harder, potentially, but it's not as though we've seen we've seen the downstream capacity built to absorb it. So, I mean, what you're seeing is just more ethylene on the market. Every little bit, you know, impacts availability. You know, I mean, we had a couple Westlake expansions last year. I think Lyondell might have had an expansion a year ago at a different cracker. So you just had extra capacity kind of, you know, coming here, debottlenecking or other efforts, and it all eventually kind of adds up.
Okay. So how do things look if we compare the picture with ethylene to propylene? What is the current status of propylene pricing and supply?
Well, I mean, if you're going to compare the two, ethylene has got, I don't want to say better, but I mean, the underlying reality is that the ethylene producers can ramp down production rates if they need to. If prices get too low, margins get too low, because that's why they run. Right now, the propylene guys are kind of at the mercy of the crackers and the refiners, and so they really can't, it seems, do much to stall the slide that they're on. I mean, if you're looking at PGP prices right now are probably about 33, 34 cents a pound, which would potentially lead to a rollover or a drop maybe in August contracts. If you're looking at the refinery-grade propylene market, August traded at 22.5 this week. Bids are at 21. So it's lower than the July RGP price, which we'll kind of see how that holds going forward once August actually takes over as the front month with propylene. But if those August RGP prices hold, then you're looking at a potential another cent a pound or more drop in spot polymer grade, which would mean another cent per pound down for August contracts. But, I mean, the propylene market continues to just be drowning in material because propane and butane are so cheap, so the crackers are using that as a feed where they can over ethane, and you know, therefore making a lot more
as a result
propylene.
Right, we're getting this.
The refiners are still running hard because gasoline demand is very healthy, because gasoline prices are very cheap, so that's spitting out more and more refinery grade propylene, which they're trying to absorb via the alkylation process, but they're still ending up with increasing inventory and supply levels. I think this was the potentially 12th week in a row where propylene inventories, according to the U.S. government, were above the 5 million barrel level, which is the first time we've ever had 12 weeks in a row at that level. So, I mean, they're high and they're staying high. And I mean, you can run as much as you want sort of the propylene splitters, but that's just extra, you know, propylene on the market. And then you've got Dow potentially starting up a propane dehydrogenation unit in the second half of this year. So there's just very little to give these guys any kind of easing on the supply overhang that we're seeing right now. So I mean, we might hit a floor, but I mean, the downward pressure is going to stay on propylene for a while.
Mm. So, I mean, would the end of the summer driving season, would that help these guys out at all as far as how things are running for that?
It'll help in the sense that, I mean, it'll tighten the RGP market, but they've got inventory to get through.
Mm-hmm.
These guys, and, I mean, the thing is that Once peak summer gasoline demand falls, it's not as though these guys can shut off the gasoline demand. People still need it. If it's going to fall, it's not going to be like a drastic kind of fall. And when they've got inventory levels of propylene where they do, they've got a long time to... It's going to take them a while to draw down those inventories. And for as long as the inventories remain high, it's going to keep downward pressure on the prices, because the buyers know that the refiners have to get rid of it. They can't keep storing it. So, I mean, it'll help from the refinery grade side, and it might firm up prices a little bit, or it might just act as kind of a Band-Aid to stop the bleeding, but it might not give them that much upside. It might just kind of stabilize prices for the second half of the year, or the third and fourth quarters, the autumn and the winter.
So what are some of the downstream implications of propylene being this cheap? I mean, how does that play out?
Well, you know, propylene being this cheap in the U.S., right now, the polypropylene industry is tight on material relative to demand. If they could magically make a polypropylene plant appear fully operational, there'd be lots of margin in it, and they would be able to sell the volumes. I mean, it seems as though, there's a pretty strong demand for exports, but there's not the volumes because the domestic buyers are absorbing most of the material. So there's not enough downstream capacity to absorb the propylene that's being produced. Of course, there are a couple units being talked about being built in the next couple of years, and there's no guarantee that propane and butane will remain this popular for cracker feedstock, and we might go back to crackers producing relatively little propylene. But that's what the PDH units would come in to produce. So what it means is that the U.S. is going to have the derivative sellers are going to have pretty good markets because of a cost advantage globally if they choose to utilize them, which means that they can keep domestic prices pretty healthy, pretty high, relative to their feedstock costs, because the derivative buyers, your polypropylene buyers and such, aren't going to be able to import polypropylene from anywhere because the U.S. stuff will still be cheaper, and they're going to compete against potentially overseas buyers for the polypropylene that's produced.
Okay. All right. Well, anything else we should know from an olefins perspective right now?
I mean, the talk has been, when are we going to hit a floor? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it could be coming, but it seems like we still haven't found that floor yet.
No end in sight, at least right now.
I think the end in sight is potentially whenever crude oil
rebounds.
Kind of rebounds.
Sure.
But
until then.
Yeah, I mean, and the thought is, who knows what demand and all that will do in the fall and the winter if we have a hurricane that knocks out capacity or a heavy turnaround season. But there's certainly nothing that you can guarantee that's going to happen that's going to be something, an impetus to push up prices.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, John, thanks for being on again. Good to hear from you.
Always glad to be on.
All right, everyone. Thank you all for listening. Visit ISIS.com for our news site for all of John's articles on olefins. You can find out about his olefins reports as well. Until next time, we will see you later. Bye-bye.